This evening, I'll be talking to you a little bit about fear and how faith gives way to fear. And just trying to get your attention and kind of buy in, because, you know, that's a teacher in me. I like to give you a little something other to go, oh, yeah, let's, we call it a hook. Right. A little hook. And it's just, to me, it's a funny story. I get to tell off of my little brother, Kent, because he is a kind of a jumpy person. But fear, how does fear make us react and respond to things or situations? And I can remember one of the few times that I went over here to the haunted farm. I think Chrissy and I had not been dating very long. Well, I still had the yellow Cadillac. And we all went together. Yeah, it's been some time ago. And we knew that Kent was rather fearful. Kent had the bright idea that he was going to walk in the back of the line, because if he walked in the back, he could see everything that was happening and he could compose himself and make good decisions. Right? He wasn't prepared with a little bridge. If some of y'all remember the little bridge they used to have that went over the creek, he wasn't prepared for the bridge, because we got there and it was all kind of quiet, knowing that something was happening. This guy stands out from behind the tree with a 2x4 and smacks the tree. And all we could see was Kent's body flying through the air as he leaped over the whole creek and ran into the woods. His decision process was altered, right? When we had to go find Kent in the woods in the dark, yes, and he can tell you about it, this was, we laughed and laughed and laughed. And it even added insult to injury when we got to the end of the haunted farm. They chased you out with a chainsaw. Evidently, Kent did not know this, and the guy chased Kent all the way to the parking lot with a chainsaw. And he was laughing so hard when he got to the parking lot, he couldn't even run anymore. Kent was gone. Right? But the thing here is, sometimes fear causes us to make decisions that can alter rational thoughts, right? Jumping over a ditch was not necessarily a very good decision for him. Luckily for Kent, he was very athletic and he ran track in high school. So, and he ran, I would say, like a gazelle. So jumping the ditch was like a streak. He did good. Anyway, I'm going to take you back to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to talk about some things. I'm going to read the chapter, but we're going to talk about some things that happened during the chapter, and this is a well-known story. It's not something that's really new or news-breaking, but it is some things that I hope that we can apply to our lives and kind of think about when we get into a fearful situation in the world. How are we going to react? How are we going to make good decisions, and how are we going to listen to God's word to help us make those good decisions? So as we go through this evening, please follow along, please read along, please listen and challenge. And yes, I'm asking you to challenge what I'm telling you to be accurate to the Bible. If it's not accurate, please let me know that it's not, so that we can fix it and make it right. Okay, so Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1, okay, says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Notice this phrase here. He says, "I will show you." That's going to come up a few times. Verse 2. See, I told you a few times here. Verse 2. "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And we know these are the promises that were made to him. God in specific terms says, "I will." This is what's going to happen. Right? So what does Abraham do? This is encouraging. Verse 4. "So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." And to me there, I had to stop and just take that in. 75. I'd like to think that now, at 44, I make better decisions than I did when Kent and I went through that haunted farm. And I'd hope at 75 I make really good decisions. I know it's a different time, different place. I just think it's interesting that they know his age at the time he left, 75. And I would like to think at 75 I was pretty settled and kind of where I'd be for the rest of my life. Abraham finds out not. And what does he do? He goes, because what God tells him. Anyway, continue on in verse 5. "And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, and at the time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring," hear these words again, "I will give this land." What land? The land where they were. The land of Canaan, right? He says, "I will give this land." So there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going down to the Negev. So here we see that he gets this place and the Lord says, "I will give this to you." He builds an altar. He worships. He recognizes this is it, right? He's exploring the land that God is going to give him. And then we get into verse 10. "Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarah his wife, 'I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me. But they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake.' When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken unto Pharaoh's house, and for her sake he dealt well with Abraham. And he had sheep and oxen and male donkeys and male servants and female servants and female donkeys and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh, and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, she is my sister, so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go.' And Pharaoh gave the men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had." Going back to verse 10. When our focus is taken off, think about what God told Abraham back in the first few verses. He says, "I will," several times. "I will do this for you. I will make you a great nation," right? I'm going to go back and actually read that again, just so I'm not missing out on something. Verse 2, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you." I'm going to stop right there for a minute. There was a famine in the land, and the famine was pretty great. Famines are hard, right? But what had God told Abram? He says, "I will bless you." Right? "I will bless you. I will take care of you." Sometimes in situations when we're faced with fear, how am I going to feed my family, all these people around me, my livestock? We make decisions, right? He made a decision to go down to Egypt. Sometimes we lose focus on what God has told us, the faith that we should have, that He will take care of us, right? Sometimes that faith is wavered with fear. Fear can cause us to make decisions that are just not good for us if we don't look back to God's word and be reminded of it, okay? Abraham lost his focus and went down into Egypt. Well, what did that cause? Well, as we see in verse 10, as we're going down to Egypt, Abraham realizes that the Pharaoh is going to take his wife. And I can only imagine the thought process he went through. "No, you're not taking my wife." But I wouldn't put in the position that Pharaoh was in, right? And after that lesson Wednesday night, I have to say, I got to be willing to die for my wife. But I also know that Abram was a man of faith. I know he's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as a great man of faith. I know that Abram was human. So I need to look to him for guidance. I need to look to him for an example. I need to look to him to know that we are human. If we don't keep our focus, and let fear overcome us, we can make decisions that can really get us in trouble. Because what does he do? He does what some of my students do sometimes. They don't tell the whole truth. Right? Leave out a little part. Was she his half-sister? Yeah. But he excludes the fact that she's his wife. But he tells her. Down here in verse, and I've lost my place. Verse 10, 11. It says 11, when he had entered into Egypt, he said to Sarah his wife, I know that you're a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me. I got to go back. I've got to go back. I'm going to try to stay in Genesis chapter 12 here, because I think there's enough stuff here to keep us on track, right? Because if I go back to the beginning of the chapter, what does the Lord tell him? I will make you a great nation. Do we have any evidence that there had been anything for Abraham to have a great nation come from his seed yet? No. There's been nothing. God said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Sometimes when fear comes upon us, we kind of go into human reasoning. And human reasoning can get us in trouble. Our human reasoning is not always the best reasoning. God's ways are better than our ways. We have to recognize that when we go through life and we come up on things that cause us great fear. Okay? I know that I've been in situations where I was very fearful. And because I was scared, probably didn't make the best decisions. Whether it was dealing with someone who was a non-Christian or in a situation where I should have stood up as a Christian and was maybe scared to. Right? God's word tells us he will be with us. He will not forsake us. That's what he tells us. So we have to make provisions in building up our faith so we can keep our focus on what God is telling us. And not let our human reasoning override God's will and God's word. What about when we forget that God is both our provider and protector? Right? God is our provider and our protector. He's going to take care of us. And sometimes, it's taking me a while to understand that that does not mean that I'm going to be necessarily totally taken care of on this earth. What that means is if I live my life as a Christian should, and I do the best I can to do what is right, how is he going to take care of me? Well, it's eternity. Eternity with him, right? It may not always be here. We have to be careful. We have to keep our focus on what is our end goal. Where are we going? And we see here that Abram was told the promises from God, I will. God says, I will. And even he being human made some mistakes. And we have to be willing to recognize those mistakes. And we know, if you know the story of Abram and going into Abraham, we know that he's obviously learned from these. And when he's tested again to offer up Isaac, we know. We see the great example. He goes to offer up Isaac. We can see from him learning a lesson that he was going to do what God told him to do. Even at that time, he knew the nation promise had not come through, and this was his seed. He was going to fall through because he knew God was going to fulfill and take care of him. Okay? And I got out of here again just to know that Abraham knew that they would take his wife, which to me, I can't imagine being in that situation and having to make that decision, knowing I'm going into a land where that's going to happen. And he feared them because they would kill him. And there he's kind of putting the focus back on himself. We have to be careful, keep our focus on what God has told us and God's word. We have to be conscious of that. When we forget the unconditional promises of God, we begin to fear man. Okay? Going back to verses 2 and 3, the promises God made Abraham. He says, I will make you a great nation. And yes, I know I'm reading these again. but they're important. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. Right there with Pharaoh. He should have known. He should have remembered the promises. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God promised him that he would take care of him. He would bless him. And anybody that dishonors him, they would be cursed. But with fear, he kind of forgot that. And it says that he knew, he feared that they would kill him. Fear can really get a hold of us. It's a tool of Satan that is very effective. When we stop trusting God and start fearing circumstances, we are willing to cause others pain and great harm in order to protect ourselves. When you think about Pharaoh, he does see that Sarah is a beautiful woman. And because I didn't tell him the truth, he takes her in. He takes her in. And from that, Abram gets all these riches. But then what happens? Well, obviously God does not approve. Verse 17, but the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. How much so? Well, it tells us in plain English. And I love it when it's so plain. Verse 18, so Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is it that you have done to me? He was hurting. What have you done to me? Why have you done this? Why did you come in here? Well, because he feared for his life. That's why he did it. He was scared. Were you numb? Why did you say, she is my sister, so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Did God fulfill his promise? Absolutely. He's still saying, I will, I will, I will. And God is fulfilling his promise here. Abraham is getting Sarah back and is told to go. But where is he going when he leaves here? To the land of Canaan, to the promised land where he is supposed to be. Right? But I have a couple questions for you. I got through this a lot faster than I thought I would tonight. But anyway, questions. A few questions. And these are questions that I'm asking myself as much as I'm asking anybody in here. We need to think about these things and be truthful when we answer them. Have you ever stopped obeying God because of fear? Has there ever been a situation that put you in a position that you did not do what was right in the sight of God because you were scared? For teenagers, that fear may be just your friends harassing you. And those are real fears. I get that. I'm with you. I see it every day. Okay? You're fearful of what's going to happen around you. Y'all have to have the faith. And parents, we got to teach them the faith to know that they are precious, they're children of God, and he will take care of them, right? For us adults, sometimes that's a little different. Our fears can be much different, right? Our fears can be things of the world. And the thing that I wrote down that looks like it might be a problem sometime in the future is, what if our worship assembly is compromised? People say, I'm going to come in and cause harm to people that are worshiping. Are we still going to show up for worship? My answer to that is, I'm telling you my answer. I'm not answering for you. My answer for that is, I'd like to say, listen to how I'm saying this. I'd like to say that my faith is strong enough to know that I'm going to come here and worship as I should and not let my fear keep me from coming to the building and worshiping with saints, because God has commanded us to come together to worship. That's our commandment. Y'all understand how I'm careful to answer that question. Now, what I'm hopeful of and prayerful of is that if the fear overcomes me and I make a poor decision, that I have Christian friends who are careful to help me and instruct me and point me in the right direction and help me build back up my faith so I'm not fearful to come in here and worship as I should. Those are just some things, you know. Think about when you have obeyed the Lord, when you've done what was right, even though it was difficult, how did it work out for you? And some of y'all have been in some difficult situations where it was hard to do what was right in the sight of God. Whether it was not talking back to the coworker who just was ugly to you, you tried to respond in a kind voice, right? For me, it might be responding to that parent that just chewed me out for something I didn't do, and me trying to be nice to them back. Sometimes that's really hard. Okay? But can I be fearful of that? Well, yes. When that parent's calling and telling me if they're going to take me to court because of this, that, and the other, that can be a fearful situation. And I can get kind of defensive if I'm not careful, right? But I can tell you with confidence, every time that I have responded like a Christian should, that conversation has changed within a few minutes. Every time. Not sometimes. I'm telling you without any reserve. Every time with a parent, I have responded like a Christian should. You think about that. The times I've had troubles when I did not respond like a Christian should. When the fear overcame me and I started defending myself instead of thinking, how should I act as a Christian? Every time, though, act like a Christian, the whole situation changes. So, my thought to you this evening, I hope we've taken you through something that was a Bible example, it was accurate, and that gets you thinking about fear. So, for some of us, fear is not a big issue. I know for some teenage boys, they're not fearful of anything. We can conquer it all. Be careful. I thought that way. I'm not going to speak for my other brother, but I know at one time I thought that way. I wasn't scared of anything. I watched Kent be scared, but I wasn't scared. I'd conquer. And I would like to say, watching Kevin, there was a lot of things he wasn't scared of either. I mean, he just wasn't. We should have been a little more fearful of some things, though. And there was one thing that we were taught, and that was to have a healthy fear for our Father, which, fear can be very productive and very good. The healthy fear of our Father was to know that what he said was right, and he corrected us. We were supposed to be corrected and do the right thing. But he was building us up to know the fear of the Father, which is another healthy fear. So I guess my point is, don't let the fear of the world, the worldliness, get to you and all the things that are going on. I'm so glad that we have cut the cable. So glad. I still keep up with the media a little bit, and I'm fearful of what's going on in the world. I really am. I'm glad I'm not exposed to it like I used to be, but I still kind of watch it. I keep up with it, and I'm fearful. What's going to happen? Well, if I look to God's Word and I keep studying and I keep worshiping and I keep practicing as a Christian should, I will be taken care of. And that's comfort beyond anything in this world. So, if you've let fear cause you to make a decision that was separating you from God, in a minute we're going to stand and sing a song. If you need help or prayers, if you need to make a confession to someone, somebody here, to get help, and that can be fearful, right? Confessing to others that you've sinned, that can be fearful. Don't let that fear keep you from doing what's right. Don't let that fear keep you from behaving as a Christian should. Because when you come forward and confess that, we're setting an example for each other, we're helping each other. So if you have a need, if you would, you can come forward as we stand and as we sing.